one of us to get our Bibles. And the reason why I want us to search the scriptures this morning, because what I'm going to talk to us about this morning is for real. And that is death. Hebrews 9:27 states, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that cometh the judgment." Go with me to the book of James. I want to share three scriptures with you, us, before we ask three important questions this morning. For examination time, James chapter 4 and verse 14. And if you're at James chapter 4 and verse 14, I want you to note 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to note beginning in verse 51. But James, in James chapter 4 and verse number 14, I'm going to give you time to get there because I want us all to see it together, because death is for real. He says, "Whereas you know." The question that I asked this morning, do you know? To the point that you will say, "And now, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting that if you're here today, you're not a Christian? Why not? Why are you waiting if you are a Christian, but you now are in compliance to Revelation 2:10 when it says, be thou faithful unto death in order to receive a crown of life. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." And this is what I want you to underline. Because your life and my life is two different lives. Galatians 6 says every man must bear his own burden. He says, "For what is your life?" Not my life, but it's your life. "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then life just vanishes away." You think about Methuselah, who lived 969 years. It still is like a vapor compared to eternity. It's a vapor that appears for a little time, and then life just vanishes away. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and begin reading in verse 51, because here in 51, he says here, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, I'm going to slow it down because I want you to see. Verse 50. He says here, "Not this I say, brothering." You know that word brothering mean, amen? "That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immorality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And look at verse 55, and thank God for it. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thank be to God, which gives us the victory, and underline that word, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, and this is the warning, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. In the Lord. That's the constellation, that's the assurance that we have by being children of God. But in that, we still need to examine ourselves and ask the question, and now, why are you waiting? And now, if you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel, are not enjoying the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, the question that we ask, not this evening, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now is the appointed time. Why are you not steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord? Let's go to one more scripture before we ask the three questions in the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And begin reading in 31. And I pray to God that we do not hear Jesus say, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, I pray to God that none of us hear under the sound of my voice, because you did not realize what scripture says and what is your life, that you will hear one day his voice say, depart from me. In verse 31, Jesus says that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from his goat. And I want to reiterate one more time, because see, this is the urgency of the matter. I know you may feel well today. I know you may not have been diagnosed with no terminal disease. I know you may be young, and you may say, well, Brother Lyles, this is immature. I have plenty of life left. I'm not old. Why are you bothering me with this thing called death? What's the problem? it is appointed unto men once to die. That's our appointment that we all will keep. Man that is born of woman will surely die. It can't be rescheduled. We don't know where death is. But the only thing that I know that it is for real. And Jesus said, I want to read it one more time. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divided his sheep from his goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto him on his right hand, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then drop on down for time's sake. Verse 41, he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. Will he tell you to come to be on the right, to be a sheep? Or will you hear him say, depart from me? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, you're going to see, I'm not going to say, write your name by that. Because number one, in Genesis 1:26, God made us in his image. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But there is a choice that I have to make and you have to make as to whether you're going to be on the right side or the left side, whether you're going to be a sheep or whether you're going to be a goat. And it all depends on whether you're going to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord based on what is your life according to the scriptures. Three questions this morning I want us to note. Number one. Do you understand? People come to church, hear scripture being preached, hear sermons being preached, but they literally do not understand. It's like in Romans 10. They have zeal, but not according to knowledge. Some of you here today, you come and you have heard scripture preached, you have heard Jesus preach, you have heard about the church being established, you have heard and you have heard, but still you do not understand. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, let's go there right quick, and I want to give you two examples of a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding still don't give you an excuse to not knowing what is the will of the Lord, because Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a worker needed not to be ashamed, but you rightly divide the word of truth. And the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning in verse number 29, I want to read it to you. I want us to read it together. Here was an individual who did not understand. But because of God's grace and God's mercy, it was taught of him what to do. That at one point he did not understand, but because of the power of the word of God, he understood. Now, you could be here today and you may not understand what you must do in order to be saved. You here today and you may be unfaithful. And you might not know what you need to do in order to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord. Because, brethren, we have the power of the word of God. And it reads the beginning of Acts 8:29. It says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran nigh unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand thou what thou readest? Now, let me make a point there. See, all religious people do not understand what is the will of the Lord. Because he was reading at the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and just because you read don't mean that you're going to understand. He was a religious man because he had came all the way to Jerusalem to worship. So just because you are religious, that don't mean that you're going to understand. So here was a man who was a religious man, who was a man who was a Bible reading man, because he was reading out the book of Isaiah, how Jesus was led, see, as a lamb dumb before his shear, but he still did not understand, because the question was asked by Philip, well, do you understand what thou art reading? Brethren, did you understand when I read from James 4:14? Did you understand what I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50? Did you understand when I read from Matthew 25 what the scripture is saying? Just because you heard it don't mean that you understood. So he asked the question. Well, do you understand what thou reading? But look at the response of verse 31. It says, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he, underline that word. See, he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Two points to be made. Number one, he needed someone to teach him. But see, nobody can teach you if you don't have a desire to want to be taught. See, we can't save you. The word can't save you if you don't want to be saved. You got to have that desire to receive that sensitive nigga of the word that you may grow thereby. See, we are free moral agents. We are creatures of choice. Amen. See, you have to have a desire. See, we can take a horse to water, but we can't make it drink. Now, that's not scripture. See, we can show you what the word says, but you got to have a desire. See, the eunuch had that desire. See, even though he were religious, see, he had a desire to want to be, to learn. And that's the same thing here. See, unless you want to have a desire, see, if you don't have it, ain't nothing we can do for you. I can quote scripture, I can preach from one end of the pulpit to the other end, but unless you want to receive the engrafted word which is able to be saved, brother, ain't nothing going to be done for you. And then the Bible says in verse 32, then the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For this life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or some other man? But look at this verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him what? Jesus. Now I'm going to stop right there, because three points I want you to see that are going to make you understand. Number one, there got to be a desire. Amen. And then number two, once you desire, you got to pray for it. Amen. And then when you desire and then you pray, then at that point, see, Jesus got to be preached. Jesus got to be preached through prayer through a desire in order to receive the grafted word. And then in verse 36, look what it says here. When you have that kind of spirit, amen, then verse 36 is as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see here water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Question, how did he know he had to be baptized? Because he preached Jesus. See, you can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism. Because you got to be buried with him in Jesus in order to rise to walk in newness of life. So we know that Philip had preached everything about Jesus and what he needed to know so that he could have an understanding, amen, on what he had to do, because Philip already desired that he received it, amen, through prayer, amen. In verse 37, is it Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he were baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went away, what? Rejoicing. See, a lack of understanding. Because you don't desire to want to know what to do. Or you don't pray that, Lord, please show me thy will, that I may have an understanding through Jesus. Amen. See, that point gives us the understanding and the mindset that calls us to rejoice. But, brother, it got to be that you must understand. And so many times people come to church, brother, and they don't understand what is the word. Simply because they don't want to know. They don't have a desire to know. They don't pray to know. Jesus is not the focal point. They don't look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, in order for that transformation to take place, in order for us to what? Rejoice and be happy, because we are a child of God. Amen. Amen. See. And if I was you, this is what I should be to know. If you want to go to heaven. Do I desire? And in my desire, do I pray? See, I pray prayers like this. Lord, let thy will be done. Not my will. Lord, just give me mindset. Just to have better understanding. Lord, just keep me humble. Just a prayer that I pray. Because I know that if I put God first, I seek God first, if I humble myself through prayer, through the power of his word, see, then I get the understanding through the word, through desire, through prayer, through Jesus, rejoicing gonna come, amen? Amen? That makes no difference who you are, where you may be, or what your life may be. You can come in here a pure doggone mess. But you can leave changed through understanding. Because, brother, it's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. He made us, he knows everything about us. But it got to be because of a understanding. He preached Jesus to him. But Jesus is not going to come, brother, if you love the world more than you love Jesus. You got to come ye out from among them. You got to be separate, said the Lord, in order for God's word, the seed, to penetrate. So that you could be just like this eunuch. I love what he said. He began to preach Jesus. But see, he could not preach Jesus, John, if he didn't desire it. And like some of you here today, see, you're not going to be saved until you want to be saved. You're not going to be faithful. You're not going to see the importance of Sunday school. You're not going to see the importance of coming back tonight. You're not going to see the importance of Wednesday night until you have that proper understanding. Acts 19, very quickly. Let's show you. Acts 19, here's another example. See? A lack of understanding. Here's some religious people again. John the Baptist's disciples. But they were religiously wrong. Amen. It said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul had passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he find certain disciples. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. See, there was ignorance there. They were disciples. They were followers of John, we're going to see. But, see, they did not know. Like some of you may not know. The world don't know. People around you don't know. D.D. Yemenyunik didn't know. See, it says here, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. You may be here today and you say, I said, what baptism were you baptized unto? You say, well, I was baptized in the Baptist church. Well, I'm baptized, I said, Jehovah's Witness. I was baptized. See, that's the wrong baptism. Because you can't be baptized on the wrong authority and be in the upright. Come Matthew 18 through 20 says, all things must be done by Christ's authority, because all authority has been given unto him in heaven and earth. Now I'm going to slow it down and ask you a question. If John the Baptist's baptism wasn't good enough, what makes you think any other baptism is good other than Jesus' baptism? John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Amen. Malachi 3 said he was a forerunner. He prepared the way for Jesus. He's the one who's coming after me, is mightier than I, whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to bear. He says, I'm going to decrease, and he going to increase. Now, think about this, brother. Just think. If John the Baptist's baptism wasn't good enough, amen, what make you think that any other baptism will supersede Jesus' baptism? Amen. Speak where the Bible speaks. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Because it's not John's will, it's good will, God's will. And that's what he said. One who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoelaces are not even worthy to tie. Well, I'm going to decrease. And he going to increase. Why? Because Malachi said that he was a forerunner and he came to prepare the way for Jesus. Amen? Verse 4. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on, look at the language, him, who is him, Jesus, which should come after John, that is on Christ Jesus. Y'all see what the Holy Spirit is saying? I want to read that one more time. Then said Paul, John, he verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on Jesus, which should come after John, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question, well, why weren't they baptized before? They didn't know. They didn't know about Jesus' baptism. They had to be taught. Same way, you here today, you may say, well, I don't know. A light has went off. Now I understand. Yeah, I was baptized under the Baptist church. I was baptized as a Catholic. Amen. But when I obeyed the gospel, I had to be buried with him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. You didn't understand. So to Joshua, you didn't understand. Sister Joshua was so dogmatic with it, she wanted to go back and get some of her money that she had paid him. She said, but Brother Lyle, do you think I can go back and give me some of that money that I have raised? I said, Alicia, forget those things behind and press on toward the mark. Amen? Because when you learn better, when you get an understanding, amen, so we can't use that excuse, well, I don't understand. Because we are commanded to study, to show thyself approved, a worker needing not to be ashamed, to write it by God's word. Number two, you may say here, yeah, I hear you, Brother Lyles. I hear what you say about the Ethiopian eunuch. I hear what you say about John the disciple. Or you may say, well, I just don't need to be. I'm all right. My wife, I'll never forget that Thursday. John Mills studied with us that Thursday, and I knew that my baptism was invalid. I knew that I had been sprinkled as a young boy. I knew that I grew up as a Catholic. I knew that even when I became a Baptist preacher, they never baptized me. They ordained me, but they never baptized me. And I knew that when John went to Galatians 3:27, for as many of us who have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ, he drew that circle and he said, you got to be baptized. I knew I had to be baptized. And I said, yes, John, I want to get baptized. John Mills, that is. And he looked at Doris. Doris sitting around the cross. She said, Doris, what you going to do? And Doris said, no. Dara said, my grandmama was a Baptist and my mama was a Baptist, and I'm going to stay a Baptist too. And John said, all right, Dara, that's fine. He called his secretary, Teresa, in. He said, Teresa, stay with Dara while I prepare Al for baptism. So me and John went to the room to prepare, left Dara and Teresa in the back. And as I began to walk down those steps to be immersed, to be buried in baptism, lo and behold, Doris was coming down the other end. And we both were baptized that same Thursday afternoon. And we both been faithful. We ain't been perfect, we've been faithful. We still are working. We still strive. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you may be like Doris. And like Doris, my mom was a Baptist. My dad was a Baptist. I'm going to stay a Baptist. You may say, there's no need for me. I'm all right just the way I am. I'm going to take my chances on Judgment Day. I'm going in just the way I am. In spite of what the Word says. In spite of Romans 3:23, there's none righteous, no, not one. We all have sinned, Romans 6:23, and fall short of the glory of God. That's the way your attitude may be. And guess what, brother? You got that right. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to be faithful. But you remember one thing. We're going to die. There's going to be a reckoning day. Corruptibility into incorruptibility. Mortality into immortality. Oh, death, where's that sting? There will be a reckoning day. Paul said in Philippians 2, every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess. Did you not know in hell right now that they all are believers? Read Luke 16. Too late he prayed. Too late he believed. Because when the blood quit running warm, when you take that last breath, before you get to the undertaker, you'll know whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, whether you're a sheep or whether you're a goat, or whether you're going to hear him say, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So you may be here today and you may say, well, there is just no need. I got to think about it. Let me go home and ponder about it. Let me go home and talk to my mama and my daddy about it. Even though now is the appointed time. And then the third thing, we talked about that in James 4:14. You're thinking of tomorrow. I know I need to be baptized. I know I got to get my life straight. See, that's what some of you are saying right now. I know I'm not living right. You're sitting here admitting you're wrong. You're sitting here knowing what you know what you need to do. And you're sitting here. That's what's going through your thinking right now. I know that's what you're saying. I know I hadn't been coming to church. I know I don't pray. I know I don't study. You're sitting here admitting it. It's bad to admit it. It's bad, James 4:17, to him who knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. See, that's bad. You're sitting here knowing. I should have been in Sunday school this morning. I hadn't been living my life. Tomorrow, this afternoon, I'm going to do better. You know what? The devil got you just where he wants you. Because you in that decision mode. And the devil not going to let you go to John 8. And this is the last scripture. See, the devil not going to let you make a good decision, because the devil know, as long as he got you ignorant, there's no need. We're going to wait on tomorrow. He got you where he wants you. And as long as he got you in his ball coat, you're not going to be able to shoot the ball nowhere else. John chapter 8, 43 and 44. Here Jesus says here, and I want you to read about this low-down dog. Amen. He says in verse 44, John 8, 44. He says, let me go back and read a little bit further if I may, okay? Let me start back in 34. I want you to pick some of it up, okay? All right. He says, Jesus answered them, oh, let me back up just a little bit more. Verse 31, I really need to go on back to verse 1, but we're going to go to 31. He didn't say Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. See, if you continue my word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? How many of y'all want to be free? Free. Free, right? Amen. And then it goes on to say, then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Luke 8:11. Seed is the word of God. Amen. And were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Amen. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father, then said they do to him. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but God sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now look at verse 44. This is the reason. This is the reason if I don't read no more. See, it's called S-I-N. Sin in your life that blocks the love of God, whereby faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because they were here talking, well, we be of Abraham. Well, it's not Abraham. is that we look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. It wasn't John the Baptist that they should be baptized. It's that they look unto Jesus, see, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, why wouldn't they change? Because they're more interested in their will than God's will. Did y'all get that? And then verse 44, look what Jesus tells them. He said, ye are your father. This is the bottom line. While you sit here and say, well, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't have a need to. Well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. When you make remarks like that, you are of the devil. And the lust of your father, you will do. When the devil have control of you, you can't control yourself because the devil control you. Did you not know that? Did you not know that? When you act a fool, the devil is in you that make you act that way, amen? Whether you want to admit it or not. Amen. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, will you write 1 John 3:8 by that if you want to? If you have a desire to. And then it says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, when you don't respond, whether it be because of ignorance, no understanding, no need to, or I put off tomorrow what I need to do today, the bottom line is you just don't have no truth in you. If you know truth, the only conclusion is you is of your father, who is of the devil. And I can't put it no plain. Because either you're on the left side or you're on the right side. Either you're a sheep or you're a goat. But I pray that me too, I'm included too, that I would not hear that voice, depart from me, I never knew you, you cursed it. Because you fail to understand. If you'll be here today and you want to be saved today, we can baptize you right now. The water is ready. Why is the water ready? The eunuch says, see, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? You got to be buried with him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3 and Colossians 2:12. Baptism is a barrier. In the same way, in Acts 19, John's baptism wasn't good enough. We got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Some say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's the same. 1 John 5:8. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all in one. One unity, the Godhead, the family. Some folk make a big deal out of it. It's the same thing. He gave Jesus all authority. He sits on the right hand, the head of the church, Ephesians 1:22-23, Colossians 1:18. But the main thing, you got to be baptized. You got to be buried to rise, to walk in newness of life. It got to be done in the name of Jesus. In Acts 2:47, is that praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord will add you to the church. And if you're here, if you are not faithful, you know what that word faithful means? It means that you cling, you're steadfast, that you're unmovable. See, you're binding. It means to just hook up to. See, steadfast, in spite of, you're going to keep on keeping on, amen? And if you're here today, you have not been steadfast. You are not faithful. You need to come. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there be one here today that need to respond to the invitation, and now, why are you waiting? Just tell me why are you waiting. Well, if death comes and you heard the call and you die and you wake up in hell, can't nobody be blamed but you. But you. And I pray that nobody wake up in hell and cry. Come right now as we stand here.